Transitions are really hard. As a mom of three, I know that. From kindergarten to middle school to high school, and even in my family, we are headed to college in the fall. That is what we're talking about today, lining up transitions for students to ensure that in your world of special education and school support, that your kiddo has everything that they need to be successful. Welcome to the Special Education Strategist podcast, where we provide valuable information and practical tips for parents navigating the world of special education. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. Today, we're discussing an important topic: transition considerations for older students and preschool under IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, in special education. We're going to dive right in. The first part, I'm going to talk about transition considerations for older students. I'm going to give you 14 tips. All right, so hang tight. So parents, you've guys got to plan ahead and consider all the different aspects when it comes to transitioning. These considerations are going to offer you a comprehensive roadmap to support your older children with disabilities during this crucial and critical transition phase. So here are some key points to remember. Individualized transition plan. I want you to work closely with the school's special education team to develop an individualized transition plan. This is going to outline goals, services, supports necessary for students' successful transition to adulthood. And this starts pretty early. When we think about transition, I want you to think about the parent input statement. And I know I first just prefaced this that we're going to talk about older students first, but let's just back it up a second. When we talk about that parent input statement, I want you to think about your student in 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, and 5 years. Nothing, of course, is set in stone. We know this as parents, we know this as professionals. But what I want to encourage you as a parent is to think about not only submitting that parent input statement for that IEP cycle, which is that year timeframe, but really start thinking about where do you see your child and where does your child see your child, right? So that's really important to think about. So when you've started to have these thoughts in your head, have these conversations with your IEP team, then seamlessly this individualized transition plan can start to take shape for your older students because you've already asked the questions, you've already put forth that information in the IEP, the goals that you and your family, your student need and want for that future education, employment, and independence in the future. And that way you can start accessing services as early as possible. And you can start to get on lists. Sometimes when we're talking about transition, we're talking about services outside of the realm of a school. You may need to be on a list because waits can be quite long. Second thing I want to talk about is vocational skills development. I want you to emphasize vocational skills development during high school years. Encourage participation in work-based learning experiences, vocational training programs, internships to build practical skills for future employment. Ask your school district, ask your IEP team who the coordinator is for the vocational component so that you can start having these conversations again early rather than later, and start making the necessary plans. If post-secondary is an option, I want you to research, explore opportunities for post-secondary education or specialized training programs that cater to your students' interests and abilities, and ensure that when you're researching, if you're doing post-secondary education, talk to their department in terms of what does that look like for a child with the specific gaps that your child is experiencing, your student is experiencing, to ensure that that college can really truly support your child's learning needs. And that is really important to know, to ask the specific questions, because colleges will say, yes, we support a student, but really ask the specific questions that are aligned with your student's needs. Let's talk about independent living skills. I want you to help your student develop essential independent living skills, such as hygiene, managing money, meal planning and preparation, transportation, public transportation, how to access that if you're in an area that you have access to public transportation, housekeeping skills, all of those things, again, start early. I know we're talking about our older students, but talk about those independent living skills, incorporate them into your child, your students daily, weekly, whatever that may be, so that they can start to build their role and their capacity with these skills. Self-advocacy, we always want to encourage self-advocacy. Involve your student as much as possible in their IEP process, that decision-making process, promoting their ability to express their needs and preferences. If your student has a question and they're nervous and uncertain to ask their teacher, start young. You can help them formulate an email, how to write that email, how to start that conversation. So really empowering your student to self-advocate for themselves so that they can be better prepared for lifelong learning. And then we're going to talk about person-centered planning. Ensure that transition planning focuses on your student's unique strengths, interests, and goals. So it's important to involve, again, your student in the process. Consider their input when setting goals and determining the necessary support. Again, I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but start early. As much as they can give input of what works well for them in a classroom, what doesn't work well, that way we can start thinking about what may work well on a job, what may work well at post-secondary institutions, what may work well with independent learning and living. So kind of really thinking ahead, again, that 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. Okay, number seven, we're talking about community connections. You want to help your student establish connections within the community that align with their interests and career aspirations. So it can involve volunteering, participating in community organizations or clubs, attending career fairs, network events, thinking about what they're interested in. Facebook has a lot of groups, a lot of parenting groups out there, a lot of community groups. So you can really try to figure out and hone in the community that best suits your students' interests and needs. Explore and assess potential benefits of assistive technology that can enhance your child's independence and productivity in various aspects of life, including that education, that employment, and that daily living skills. And think about those post-education options. Research and visit post-secondary education institutions that offer programs for students with disability. And understand that their admission requirements, available supports, and accommodations to make an informed decision. So back to asking those questions, get a feel for the community that's on that campus to ensure that it's going to be a good, not only learning fit for your student, but also they're living there. So make sure that they have access to what they need to be successful and independent living. Financial planning, start considering financial planning early on, investigate potential funding sources, scholarships, grants that can help support your students' transition and any ongoing needs that they may have. In the event that you need guardianship or decision-making, depending on your student's level of independence, it may be necessary to explore guardianship or supportive decision-making options as they reach adulthood. So always seek a legal advice to understand the process and make informed decisions. If you have a student that's about to turn 18, it is very critical, even in their medical world, once they turn 18, they're considered that an adult, and physicians will not include you. So make sure that you have the proper document that you can, if you need to be included in medical conversations, if you need to be included in the financial part of it, that you have the proper decision-making documentations outlined. All right, in the home stretch, we have three more for our older kids. Think about employment opportunities, collaborate with the vocational rehabilitation agencies, job placement services, and disability service organizations to identify employment opportunities, internships, or apprenticeships suitable for your students' skills and interests. If you're not sure where to start, I would start by asking your case manager of your child or your student's IEP, your IEP team. You can call the district. They will have somebody that is in charge with vocational rehabilitation and job placement services for that school district that you can connect with, have a meeting, ask questions to ensure that you're really setting up your student for success. Think about health and healthcare transitions. Ensure a smooth transition of healthcare providers and services. Help your child understand their medical needs, medication management, and the importance of taking responsibility of their health. This is really critical and something that we don't often think about, especially for aligning ourselves with information at school and IEPs. But if your student takes a medication on a daily basis, start now as soon as you are comfortable with getting them in that routine of them taking that medication, understanding how to fill a prescription, how to ask for that refill, how to call and make an appointment. You can practice doing that, calling and making a doctor's appointment. So all of these things are going to be thought of when we talk about transition with our older students. Last but certainly not least, we want the emotional and social support. So we want to recognize the emotional challenges that may arise during the transition period. You want to encourage your student to seek emotional support from peers, mentors, support groups, catering to individuals that have similar needs as your child, your student. One quick tip, if your student's going off to college, make sure they know where counseling is prior to, like, when you're moving in that week. Make sure they actually know where that building is, because when you're in a crisis, that's not the time to have to learn where to find and where to go. So prior to that crisis, heaven forbid that does not happen, but if it does, you want to make sure that your student knows where to go and they feel comfortable making an appointment and reaching out. So we're going to shift our focus to transition considerations for our younger students, our preschool students that are entering elementary school. So starting elementary school is a significant milestone. Considerations provide parents with a comprehensive approach to facilitate a smooth transition for their preschoolers. So let's, again, we're going to have 14 tips, so let's go through them. We want to communicate with the school staff. We want to establish open lines of communication with the elementary school and special education team. You want to share information about your child's needs, strengths, and any specific concerns. You can really do that on a one-sheeter with a picture of your kid. This is my student. This is what they like. This is what they don't like. Here's a unique thing about them. Whatever you want to share, and also send home an email and let people know how and the best way to reach you. I would send an email to your students, new teachers. And I know you're thinking, Wendy, you're recording this at the end of the school year. It is May, correct? But think ahead. So you want to think about when August and staff is coming back. What do you want to tell that staff? How can they get a hold of you? Can they text you? Can they email you? Can they call you? What is the best way? And you're going to repeat that every year. Even though if you think you're in your elementary school and they all know you're a sweet baby, just repeat that email. So each year refreshes that staff's mind of what the strengths, what the gaps, what the gains are of your individual student and how to best support them. Transition meetings. So I want you to attend transition meetings to discuss your child's IEP goals, services, and any modifications needed for a successful transition to a new school environment. It can be nerve-wracking for you as a parent, for our students. So we want to make sure that we are setting up for success, that we know the building, see if you can get a tour of the building. And so really you're starting to feel comfortable. I want you to go on the familiarization visits, arrange to visit the new school before the official transition to help your child become familiar with the surroundings, meet the teachers, and explore the classrooms. I would even say that if you have an anxious student or a student that's apprehensive about transitions, you can drive by the school as many times as you want. You can sit in front in the school parking lot and eat your lunch while you're looking at the building. So the student starts to visualize themselves getting out of the car, walking into the building, see if you can play on that playground, see if you can have a little play group of students that will be entering that same year with your students, get together on that playground. So things start to become familiar for your student that is transitioning. I want you to collaboration with preschool providers. So encourage that collaboration between the preschool and the elementary school providers to ensure a seamless transition and continuity of service. That social skills development, I want you to help your student develop social skills by organizing playdates with future classmates, joining community-based programs that promote interaction with peers, so that they can start to see familiar faces and become more comfortable. Individualized education plans. I want you, before the transition, review and update your child's IEP to ensure that it aligns with the goals and services appropriate for that elementary school setting. Make sure the new IEP reflects the specific needs and supports required for your child's successful transition. Think about social stories, visual supports. Use social stories and visual supports to prepare your child for the upcoming changes. And these tools can help them understand what to expect in the new school environment, such as a new routine, expectation, and faces that they're going to encounter. Communication with elementary school staff. Initiate that communication with the elementary school staff, including special education team, the principal, the classroom teacher, the guidance counselor. Share that information about your child's strengths, areas of needs, any specific accommodations and modifications that have been helpful in the past. This collaboration will help the school staff better understand and support your students' unique needs. Transition meetings and visits. Again, anytime a transition meeting happens or it's organized by the elementary school to discuss your kiddo's needs and the supports they require, make sure you can be there or get a time where it works best for you. Additionally, you want to arrange visits to the new school that allow your kiddo to explore that classroom, meet their teacher, and become familiar with the overall environment. Some students do better if they can meet the teacher and see that classroom before. Some schools have it what they call a sneak peek, where you can go in, you meet your teacher for the first time, and then within the next week or couple of days or something, then school starts. Sometimes you know your kiddo best. It may work better if they can go in before other students are there, so it's a little quiet. They can kind of get the lay of the land and then come back again for the sneak peek when their new classmates will be there. Any peer connections foster opportunities for your child to interact with potential classmates before the transition. Organize play dates, attend community events, participate in programs where your child can meet and engage with their future friends and peers. These connections always can help ease that anxiety and really promote that inclusion and social inclusion. If there's any sensory considerations, discuss your student's sensory needs with the school staff. Share strategies or accommodations that have been helpful in the past to ensure a supportive sensory environment is provided. Last two that we're going to talk about, I want you to think about transition assessments. Request transition assessments to evaluate your student's current skills and abilities as they prepare for elementary school. These assessments can inform the development of appropriate supports and accommodations within that new school setting. And parent education and support. I want you to seek out educational opportunities and support groups focused on transitioning to elementary school. Connect with other parents who have gone through similar experience and can provide that valuable insight, tips, and emotional support. That wraps up our discussion on transition considerations for both preschoolers and our older students under special education and IDEA. I hope you found this information valuable. Join me next time on the Special Ed Strategist as we continue to explore important topics in special education. Again, I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, and I'm obsessed with helping families and professionals bridge learning gaps, access special education services, and build kick-butt IEPs. Thank you again for strategizing with me and spending your precious time listening. If you've loved what you've heard, share this episode with a friend, give us a like and a follow. Looking for free tips? Not sure where to start? Go to learningessentialsedu.com. You can take our free quiz. It gives you that starting point for help. And if you need more specialized educational support, we got you. We're here. We provide individualized and systematic approach to supporting students with various learning needs and differences through academic coaching, educational therapy, and Brain Camp, our executive function support model. I hope this helps. Make it a great day. Bye for now.